Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Steve Jones Show, Wednesday, October 9th, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com. Also, subscribe to our free podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play, search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe, and then we take it from there. Just drop our new shows after we archive them, put them in your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. 3 months of archive shows are always found at stevejonesshow.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, on social media, so give us a like, give us a follow, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And our email is stevejones at wkok.com. We'll hear from Steve in just a moment in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we got a call on Audible today, heard from Tony Knopp's administrative professional after we got in our broadcast facility of Champions this morning. Tony is tied up today. We will have him on the show next week on Tuesday. All right, so Tony Knopp pushed back to Tuesday next week. All right, but we will have Phillies Talk next hour, 4:06. Tim Kelly will join us from PhilliesNation.com and also is the host during the regular season for the Locked On Phillies podcast, so we'll get Tim's perspective as the offseason underway now, a few weeks in for the Fightins. See if Gabe is in, Gabe is out, or some options too as we roll toward December and when the Hot Stove League really gets cooking before Christmas time. So we got that on the show. Tomorrow we'll have our high school football roundtable. Also, the King, Kevin Jones, will be with us tomorrow, not Friday.
Yeah, at least there'll be one Kevin on the show. Yeah. All right, so
that's correct. You are correct, sir.
Right. Somebody who runs his own business, runs the business, like owns it, runs it, but finds time for the show. As opposed to, I got a lot of stuff on my plate. Do you own the place? No. Are you him? No wonder he's interim. Maybe we should be like LinkedIn. You and I should look at some resumes.
To fill that spot.
Pull Roger aside. Hey, we found some people who are pretty qualified.
He will stop and take notice.
It's just you and me taking a more active role.
That's right.
Yeah. What's going on?
It's not like we're forming our own little conspiracy in this back end of the building, you know.
This is not a coup d'etat.
No.
Not in the least.
No.
All right. Now, the Iowa offense, numerically, has not played out. I think they're like 85th or something like that. But their defense, whoa. Let me give you two numbers on defense. Geno Stone, who's out of the western part of the state, out of western Pennsylvania. I want to say he was an Erie Cathedral prep kid. Right? Last week, last year he picked off a pass and he ran it back for a touchdown. Against Michigan, he picked off a pass. Do you know what the passer rating was in his area of the field last week in the Iowa-Michigan game? 0.0. Mr. Blutarski, your grade point average is 0.0.
I'd like to have 10,000 marbles, please. So would he be the... so love Animal House. Pull quotes from there whenever we can. Makes life better. So a couple of years ago...
Here's a friend of mine, Laura Sullivan. We used to have her on one of the radio stations here doing movie reviews.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't you review Animal House? She looked at me like I was insane. Like, you lowlife. here's the...
So I go back to a couple of years ago. Josie Jewell had a really phenomenal night that night. Would you kind of put this player in the splash player category, like a la Josie from 2 years ago, that we need to watch out for?
He's a different position.
Yeah.
He's a safety. But he's the kind of guy that you've got to be aware of where number nine is the entire time. He's just really good. I mean, some guys are just really good. He's one of those guys that's really good. I give him all the credit in the world for being really good. And here's the other one. Iowa's defense on third down and seven or better. On third down, seven or better. 2 for 33 against them. How about that? How about that number? I mean, that's the part that I think is amazing. 2 for 33 against them. I find that to be remarkable.
I'm kind of going into this game with the mindset it just comes down to which team is better, which I feel Penn State's the better team.
Well, I think Penn State's better, so yeah. That's not an issue. I feel Penn State's better. So I agree with you.
But now I'm hearing about the Iowa defense here so far, but yes, we got to figure, though, we got to look at the competition that Iowa has played so far, I mean, leading up to the Michigan game.
Their schedule, it's Miami of Ohio, who's collected a lot of checks this year, Middle Tennessee State. Their conference games have been Rutgers, Michigan. Then there's the Iowa State game, but even the Iowa State game, you can't sit look at the Iowa State game because of the 4-hour weather delay. That to me then skews how you look at the Iowa State game. I don't know what to say about the Iowa State game because of the 4-hour weather delay. I think it changed everything. See, I think that 4-hour weather delay changed everything as to what my evaluation of that game was. Now, in my evaluation of looking at that game, I thought the one area that really stood out to me was the ability of Nate Stanley to gut that game out. That's the part that got me. I thought, this guy gutted it out. That's what impressed me about how he played that game. Because, look, Iowa State went after him. They went after him. Other than that, in the four-hour delay, you just don't know. Just don't know. To me, you just don't know in a four-hour delay. Because you can go back, you can say this worked, that didn't work, you know. You can make like all these adjustments, sit down, you can teach. There's all sorts of things that you can do. No. That's why it makes it hard to evaluate. One of the Nationals beat writers is going to join us today, Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. You got two game fives tonight. Cardinals Braves at 5, and then you've got the Dodgers and the Nationals. And tomorrow you've got the Rays and the Astros. Tomorrow our round table. And Greg Wetzel, the ever reliable and dependable Greg Wetzel.
Sends his best. Talked with him about an hour ago.
Zach Showers, ever reliable and dependable.
Steady as she goes, yep.
The Chief, universally respected.
Cannot wait to hear about his Annapolis road trip.
Yeah. And
wait for it. Here it comes. Who do we got?
It's getting to the point where we're going to start referring to him as the empty suit. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Empty calories.
Oh, no. No. Not there. Let's not get too carried away.
Carbs. Carba.
Look, empty suit.
Not a carb. Not a carb up. He's going from Berwick to Hampton this weekend. So. Or Hamilton. Hampton or Hamilton, where Colgate is?
Yeah, Hamilton is where
Hamilton.
Colgate is.
There we go.
Yeah. That's, believe me, he'll have, I need a driver. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Sam Fortier coming up in the next half hour in the Nationals and the Dodgers in Game 5 for the right to go to the National League Championship Series. PhilliesNation.com and host of Locked On Phillies podcast, Tim Kelly at 4:06, who is outside of Citizens Bank Park looking for white smoke on Gabe Kapler.
We have a manager. Wait, we still do. Still has one more year left on the contract, but
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You know, things like this happen. You know, suddenly out of nowhere, you know, they'll make up their mind. But doesn't make all the other stuff go away, all the other issues. And this is where you have to get fortunate. Okay? This is an area you do have to get fortunate. If you've noticed over the years, the teams that have been able to make runs in the postseason have gotten fortunate with their bullpens. A couple of guys have career years. You picked them up in the offseason, they had a career year. And I think you've noticed over the years that pretty much has been part of the formula to some teams winning. You know, they've got good enough offense, good enough power, they're good enough in the field, they're good enough with the starting rotation, maybe good enough with their closer. But in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings, they've got a guy or two that is giving them a career year. And that's where you've got to be lucky. You got to hit it right. And I'll give you one for the Phillies where they didn't hit it right. Whereas a non-closer, I like him as a non-closer, but can give you really good innings, was when David Robertson got hurt. I thought that was a huge blow to what they were doing. And the reason being that I thought it was a huge blow for them is that I thought he was the kind of guy that could come out. He is not great in the pressure situation of closing, but he's very good in the situation of getting you through innings and doing it in a true professional pitching manner. He's fine with that. The closer, no. It's not. He's already proven with the White Sox and occasionally with the Yankees that's not his forte. That's fine. Not everybody is. Not everybody is. But I felt that was one of those where, hey, you know what, it's a good signing. This guy's a pro. He knows how to handle those innings. That'll be fine. And then he got hurt. See, you have to get lucky in some ways. Look, I mean, look at Tampa Bay. Some of the guys that they're running out there right now won't be the same next year. I mean, last year with the Red Sox, I mean, certain guys like Ryan Brazier, good example. Ryan Brazier last year. It just kind of like gone along. And guess what? Then all of a sudden he gives you a career year. He'd been pitching in Japan at one point. Gives you a career year. Get to the postseason, he continues. Right? This year, no. Can't find the plate. That's a perfect example of a guy like, wow, look at the job he's done. Astros had a couple of guys like that when they won in 2017. You know, you're looking, for example, a guy like Lance McCullers, who then gets hurt, and then they can't use him. You know, the Cubs had a couple guys like that in 16, leading into Chapman. In 15, Kansas City had guys like that. And obviously in 14, so the Giants. In 13, the Red Sox, same thing. Go back to 12 Giants. I mean, you get so like, you know, like the other night I saw Sergio Romo out there pitching for the Minnesota Twins. He had a couple of big years with the Giants right when they needed it. Well, that's what you need. You need to have a couple of guys in the bullpen area that probably there's a reason you're in that spot to begin with. And you notice most of these bullpens have tremendous turnover in the off season. That's because everybody realizes that the shelf life of these guys is not great, and you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle with some of them. The Phillies do need that. You'd be amazed how much it helps any manager, analytics or not, when they've got a few guys that they can look at and they can get you six outs. Nationals-Dodgers should be a pretty good one tonight. Strasburg and Buehler. Talk to Sam Fortier from the Washington Post next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Word has it that Sunbury Motors is extending its new Ford car, truck, and SUV sale for October. Choose from over 30 2019 Ford Escapes with savings up to $8,500. And they start as low as $17,585. Choose from 69 Ford F-150s, discounted up to a whopping $17,800. Did you know that 102 F-Series trucks are sold every hour? True story. Sunbury Motors is taking $7,000 off 2019 Ford EcoSports, $7,500 off new Ford Edges, and an astonishing $12,000 off Ford Expeditions. Astonished? You bet you are. This deal is amazing. Take $18,257 off a 2019 Ford Fusion lease. That's more than half price, with the plug-in hybrid getting up to 110 MPGe. SMC is Ford Motor Company's favorite dealer, which makes for the most favorable deals for you. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central PA for over a century. But don't tell anyone.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know that we have promoted having Tony Knopp on the show today, but something came up for Tony schedule-wise. And you know what a loyal soldier Tony Knopp has been to this show. Tony's going to join us next Tuesday. So we just had to move some of the chess pieces around the board. But we're able to adjust quickly because guess what? We have two Game 5s coming up tonight in baseball for the right to go to the National League Championship Series. Beginning about 90 minutes from now, the Braves will take on the Cardinals in Atlanta. Well, near Atlanta, north of Atlanta in Cobb County at SunTrust Park. And the Dodgers will take on the Nationals in Los Angeles tonight. The two winners go to the National League Championship Series. And let's take a look at the Nationals and the Dodgers, which I think has become an incredibly intriguing back and forth. Sam Fortier joins us from the Washington Post. Hello, Sam. Welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it very much. Let's start with Strasburg here. How much do you like him in this spot based on his history and also what he's done of late?
He has the best ERA in MLB history of anyone who started four or more postseason games.
Yep.
I don't think the Nationals could ask for more than that. I mean, you have to like what he does. I mean, the Dodgers lineup, they hit speed. I mean, we all know baseball today is all about high velocity, you know, getting it in there at 100 miles an hour. But Anibal Sanchez in game three for the Nationals really came through and was really effective with off-speed, changing, you know, throwing breaking balls, things like that. Strasburg was effective in game two. So I think, you know, I don't want to say the Dodgers lineup has a weakness because that's asking for it. But I think, you know, Strasburg's arsenal matches up well with obviously one of the best lineups in baseball.
All right. So now let's get to what the Nationals have done offensively. When they have been cooking, what have you liked about their – because obviously Rendon is a heck of a player. Zimmerman hit the big home run the other night. What do you like about the Nationals offense right now?
I like the thing I like about the Nationals offense is they are not the boom and bust model that we're seeing around the game. You know, you need those home runs to win. The Nationals are being out homered in the series 8-2, but they're winning because of the reason they had that rally the other night to put runners on for Ryan Zimmerman. They're one of the highest teams in the league when it comes to contact. They don't strike out that much. They walk a lot. They play kind of an old school style of offense. They sacrifice. They bunt. That's manager Dave Martinez's philosophy. So. What I like about them is that you're not relying on the long ball all the time. You can do it in incremental, sustainable ways.
All right. What kind of catalyst has Trey Turner been?
Trey Turner at the top of this lineup is invaluable just because, you know, he has speed, he has contact, he gets on, he stresses defenses. I mean, you know, if he gets on first base, you're going to see at least one check over to first base, and he's always that threat to go. And I would even say, you know, in the second hole, Adam Eaton, him and Trey Turner both, you know, really grind hitters. They make them, you know, they get in a lot of long at-bats. They make you throw all their pitches. They get your pitch count up. Those two guys without Rendon and Soto in that 3-4 hole.
This will be an update on somebody State College fans saw a lot of last year. And of course, I broadcast the games for them as well. Victor Robles did a rehab, a long one last year with Auburn. So we saw him five or six times last year. What has he meant defensively, but what has he meant to the jump in the lineup, too?
Defensively, he's a gold glove caliber center fielder. We've seen, you know, at the beginning of the year, he looked a little overzealous. He would hit, you know, he wouldn't hit this cutoff man. He would take some strange routes. But since Gerardo Parra was acquired, just a guy picked up off the scrap heap when he was cut by the Giants in early May, he's really become a defensive force. And on offense, he does a lot of the things that Trey Turner does just at the bottom of that lineup. He kind of turns over this lineup with bunts or steals or, you know, he is willing to do anything at any time. And even if it's a soft ground ball to third, you know that you got to get it over there in time because he's, you know, one of the fastest players in the game.
I want to get back to Strasburg for a moment. You talked about the fastball, which is electric. There's no question. But he used his curveball 40% of the time against the Dodgers in Game 2. And that's the third highest rate that he's used that pitch in his career. What did the effectiveness of that curveball mean?
I think the effectiveness of the curveball, Dave Martinez talked about this. When Strasburg came into the league, he was a 0-2, oh, I'm going to throw in the dirt and hope you swing kind of guy. Now he's putting that pitch all over the zone. He can put it in the strike zone, you know, seemingly at will. And when, you know, just hitters nowadays, they're timed up to hit the fastball, right? Like, you know, you have those high leg kicks, like they're going to get that 100-mile-an-hour fastball and they're going to make contact. But, you know, his changeup is really effective, his curveball is really effective, and he just doesn't allow hitters to sit on one or two pitches. Obviously, you throw 40% curveballs, and even if you know it's coming, it's going to be tough to hit anyway. So I just think his ability to change speed, to change eye level, and really keep guessing, that's what makes that so dangerous and so effective.
And by the way, earlier, there's been three times in his career he's had 40% curveball usage. The other one was earlier in the year against the Dodgers when he did it 42.5% of the time back in May. It's amazing because the curveball the development of an effective curveball meant everything to the careers of Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan, and now we're seeing it. I feel like we're seeing that in Strasburg.
No, absolutely. I think you're right. And this is sort of, you know, he talked about this at his press conference, you know, last night or two nights ago, and he said, you know, you just get to a point where you realize, and I think the same was true for those guys that you mentioned, you just can't blow your fastball by anybody. Right. I mean, Steven Strasburg came up, he was the talent of a generation because his fastball touched 100 when not a lot of people could do that. And now, you know, last year, people were crushing his fastball, and he went back to the drawing board and he said, okay, what can I do? And obviously, he did what a few other pitchers who he liked to be in the company of did as well.
All right, let's get to Walker Buehler now. He has been somebody in the last two seasons that has really stepped up and is somebody that you really have to circle his name moving forward as to somebody who can be one of the better pitchers in the game. In the first game against the Nationals, Buehler put together one hit, no runs in six innings. He struck out 80, walked only three. When you watched his performance, what stood out to you, Sam, about Buehler?
Buehler, I mean, he's really effective all over the zone, and obviously he keeps you guessing in the same way. He hasn't allowed a run in his last 17 and two-thirds postseason innings. So obviously you've got to overcome a lot of that. The Nationals will tell you that they helped him along. They chased at least 20 pitches outside of the zone. Dave Martinez was kind of miffed because, you know, they don't strike out. They don't walk. And if you listen to the Nationals, obviously they're not going to take anything away from Walker Buehler. You know, he's a great pitcher. But they think that their offensive approach was lacking. Even when Walker Buehler walks three batters in the fourth inning, as Drubal Cabrera comes up and has his worst at bat as a National, I think, chases two pitches out of the zone, grounds that second one back to the pitcher so he gets out of the jam. I mean, they had him on the ropes. They had a chance to do some damage, and I think the Nationals offense just flat out missed it.
And what's interesting about Buehler is normally he's had pretty good control, but he's had seven games this year where he has walked three batters or better. Six of them have been since the All-Star break, including his last three. Do the Nationals need to exhibit, based on that previous answer, a little more patience at the plate?
Yes, and I think if you look back at Walker Buehler's start in Washington, that provides a perfect template. The Dodgers shift a lot, and when you shift, you need to pitch and hit your spots, and you need to throw certain pitches to get them to play into that shift, right? So what we saw in D.C., I think it was six or seven opposite field hits. With the Nationals hitters, they have a very veteran lineup. They stay patient, and they just said, okay, you're going to miss your spot. We're going to flick it where your defenders aren't. They did not do that in game one, and I think that's a big reason why they lost. But if Walker Buehler cannot hit his spot, if he cannot play into the shift that the Dodgers love to use, then the Nationals' offense should be able to exploit that.
All right, so now you've got a combination of a pitcher like Strasburg out there, which obviously the Nationals justifiably are banking on. You also have, obviously, an offense. If they can get a run or two and get to the Dodger bullpen, how much does that change the dynamics of this game five? Because that Dodger bullpen is a 6.75 ERA the last two games.
Right. I think another key here is that the Nationals can't, you know, basically the Nationals need to do what they can't allow to happen to themselves, if that makes sense. They need to get into the Dodger bullpen. They can't let the Dodgers get into their bullpen.
Exactly.
And I think you know, getting into that Dodgers bullpen, you saw a perfect example in Game 4. Julio Urias had three scoreless innings over Games 2 and 3 against the Nationals. He comes in to protect a 1-1 tie in the fifth. And the Nationals hitters that I talked to, you know, he's facing the top of the lineup. Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner, and Howie Kendrick hit three singles. And I talked to each of them. They said, yeah, I mean, that's a 23-year-old kid who we're seeing for the third time in 4 days. Like, if we can't figure it out by then, if we can't recognize his pitches better out of his hand by then, you know, we shouldn't be up here. So I think if you can dig into that Dodgers bullpen, which has been used a lot because Rich Hill, you know, could only go three innings, you get that familiarity. And obviously, you know, if they can't execute, then I think that's a huge, huge advantage for the Nationals.
Because I think if they go to the bullpen, the Dodgers, I think at some point Clayton Kershaw is going to come in. I mean, you got to think so. He's got believe it or not, Kershaw, to his credit, has a 1.98 ERA when he's kind of out of the bullpen in his career. Not bad.
No, absolutely. And obviously that's much better than his starting numbers.
Yes.
I think, you know, manager Dave Roberts said everyone's available. That includes Ryu. I mean, I think everyone except Rich Hill is on board. So, I mean, you know, if you get that Dodgers bullpen, who knows what you're going to see.
Obviously, Strasburg came in and picked up a win in this series out of the bullpen, but is it safe to assume that Max Scherzer is not available tonight?
Yeah. I mean, it would be it would have to be apocalyptic. We would have to be in like the 33rd inning to see Max Scherzer, yeah. I think. Because, I mean, he came out 109 pitches, especially the last 15, his last inning. I mean, he said, my arm is hanging off. You know, we are not going to see him.
Right. No, I just want to make sure about that, like not even a batter, because I'm the same with you. He threw, what, 109, and believe me, that seventh inning, he gutted that one out.
Right. I mean, he prides himself. He has a concept called last 15 pitches, pitches average about 15 pitches in an inning. So his sort of whole idea is emptying out the tank. Like, you need to give everything you have to the ball club. You got to bear down, be at your best at the highest stress, right? So, I mean, he comes in, and he basically did exactly that. Loads the bases with one out, escapes without allowing a run. That was, we've seen him do that all year, but this was the biggest stage. This was the highest pressure. And for him to come through and do that is certainly, especially vintage Mad Max. I mean, he had the best month of his career in June. Back problems land him on the IL, and he misses about 6 weeks. He comes back and is really not, not the guy that DC is used to seeing. Some people say, a lot of people say Strasburg should have started the wild card game over Scherzer, but that to me was Scherzer reestablishing himself and saying, I am back, I am Mad Max again.
Yeah, exactly. How creative has Davey Martinez had to be to somehow manage this bullpen?
I think Dave Martinez, this series, has been nailed. There's been a lot of questions about his, in-game tactician ability, especially, coming from a Joe Maddon tree throughout the season. But I think this series, he's been really effective. And the biggest thing is he has not given the bullpen, which has been, atrocious all year, other than two guys. He trusts Daniel Hudson, the setup man, and he trusts Sean Doolittle, the closer, although they flip-flop roles sometimes. He's used Patrick Corbin, the left-handed starter out of the bullpen, and that's it. I mean, if anybody but those three guys come in, the Nationals fans should throw up their hands and say, what's going on? But Dave Martinez has just used those three guys in effective, in high-leverage situations so far. And does he get burned sometimes? Yes, but he understands those are his only trustworthy options.
Yes, in fact, the Nationals fans have several times this season cited religion when they went to the bullpen. Oh, God. Oh, God. What are we doing here? All right, so going in, I know when I broadcast games, I try not to go in with any expectations. I allow it to play out in front of me. When you look at it, what will be important tonight? What should we watch for that as the game plays out? You know what? They mentioned that, and that's important.
I think watching Steven Strasburg's curveball is going to be the most important part. I mean, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts said he was surprised at how much Strasburg used it last time, and Strasburg has relied on it all season long. So for a team that has undoubtedly spent its off day and much of today probably preparing for that one pitch, I would love to see the swings that the Dodgers are going to be able to put on it and how Strasburg counters that, whether he goes to his changeup more, whether his fastball ends up playing the role that it did throughout his entire career, but, now he's using his change of pace. What the Dodgers look like against that curveball, I think, is going to be a fair bellwether for how this game turns out.
Sam, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the great insight. We really appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Sam Fortier from the Washington Post with a complete breakdown on Nationals-Dodgers Game 5 for the right to go to the National League Championship Series. There's another Game 5 tonight that starts at 5, and that's going to be the Cardinals and the Braves from SunTrust. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Next half hour, Tim Kelly's going to join us. Talk about the Phillies. And what the decision-making process is around Gabe Kapler. How's it going to play out? He's still the manager. Wonder if he feels like he's in an interim position, and I wonder how that must feel. Is there anybody we know that could that we can bring in to talk about this?
Ah, saw what you did there. Yes.
He's just sitting in the gigantic back office, shaking his head. He is now manning the gigantic back office, correct?
It's weird. I see him in that particular office more and more than his original office, which is still his original office.
So in other words, he has...
Name tag's still on that other door. He has not moved the name tags over yet. It's kind of like when you're in the minor leagues, you're waiting for the call up to come up to the show. He's just waiting for the call. And then he'll move the name tags over and into toward the palatial office.
So in other words, he has his own personal junk in both offices.
He does have, most of the stuff is still in his original office, but I did see one or two things he moved over to the palatial office.
Mm-hmm. That picture of Ashton Kutcher, for example.
I think it's a picture of Michael Andretti.
When he has the picture of Ashton Kutcher there, and they go, oh, who's that? He says, that's my son. All right, so... Michael Andretti. Yeah. Michael Andretti. By the way, our thanks to Karen Christman, by the way, who posted a like on the Steve Jones Show. Karen, thank you. Great Penn State fan. We had another one the other day, didn't we? Another like. And I apologize. I should have mentioned it the second I got it. So that's my fault. But we appreciate it very much. Now, I see what we did for the month of October. We put the Jeffrey Scharfenkamp. Thank you, Jeffrey, so much. Appreciate that very much for the like.
Over the weekend, yes.
Oh, yes. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah, well, our Steve Jones Show Facebook, we decided to deck it out in pink as part of our Paint the Valley Pink Breast Cancer Awareness Project here in the Valley with Evangelical Community Hospital. We have a Drinks for Pink event lined up tonight. We got a celebrity bartender night at Bott's Tavern in Sewens Grove. It's coming up tonight.
Who's our celebrity bartender?
It will be Sam Tyler.
Oh, good.
From 94KX. Good. And Allie Stevens from our news department.
Allie Stevens.
Both with previous Bott's bartending experience. So we decided to spare no expense and just get the lead off. You get the heavy hitters right there behind the bar right out of the gate. So, but they will be taking tips tonight for the Thyra M. Humphrey Center for Breast Health, making sure, you know, people those less fortunate and not able to pay can get their mammograms. We'll have drink specials tonight. It is a family-friendly, smoke-free environment, by the way, at Bott's Tavern. And we got Penn State Bucknell basketball tickets for the game next month at the Jordan Center to give away. Also got a free year's worth of car washes from Ultimate Express Car Wash, Retro gift card, Steelers tickets. So a lot happening tonight, so stop by and see us. We have a few other Drinks for Pink bartender nights coming up later in the month. I will be involved in one at the end of the month, and we'll tell you more about it when we get closer to it.
I'm shocked, by the way, there are Steelers tickets available. All right, so...
I would think, though, they're still going to be a hard get, despite the fact they're 1-4.
Actually, I think the Steelers are actually not that bad. And I also think that Mike Tomlin, I know what the analytics world says. I thought Mike Tomlin brilliantly assessed 3 hours of football on Sunday and said, I want my defense out there first. It goes against everything that you know about the NFL. But his defense was really, really playing well. And he thought if he could get a three and out, he could get a shorter field. Because at that point, once you've done it, all you now need is a field goal to win.
It looks like the Steelers are going to be without James Washington's shoulder injury from Sunday's games. He'll be out against the Chargers.
That's going to be the Sunday night game.
Yep.
Right now... both the Chargers and the Steelers circling a fogged-in airport.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.